welcome to worship. Our call to worship today is a song that we did last month. We said we were going to teach it to you, so we're going to do it again. Hopefully, you'll remember a little bit more this time. It's "We Welcome You," and in it, we're asking God to fill our worship service today with His presence and to bring each of us healing and salvation as we go through the service today.
Welcome us. Hey, are you speaking on behalf of God or on yourselves? Yep. I am welcoming you. It's nice to have you here. Good morning. Hope you have had a wonderful weekend. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourself. Say, it's nice to have you worshiping with us today. Good. Good thing I looked at this. Next week, there's only one service. We've got the Garms family, and we'll be worshiping at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. They, I understand, are wonderful, wonderful musicians, a family of eight, and everybody plays an instrument. So next Sunday, just one service at 9 o'clock. Today, after worship, if you're free, the Worship and Music Committee asked me to ask a few of you to come in there and take the tables down and set up the chairs so it can be ready for the service next week, okay? I'm leaving on vacation. I usually have my Bible studies do that, but I'm not having Bible study this week. So if you'd like to help out, that would be great. Veggie stand was open yesterday, but it rained the first half, and there's leftover vegetables and goodies. First come, first serve, and there's good stuff out there. So before you leave, if you're interested in, they got these big zucchinis, half a dozen big zucchinis. I think there's only three left, but anybody else have zucchinis? My zucchinis didn't come this year. Must be the quality of one's prayer life. Anyway, that's in the fellowship hall. Take a look at that. Take a look at that table. I think the rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. We've been inviting our council members to share a little bit of what they're doing. And Craig, what are you going to share on today?
Actually, council.
Council. Oh, what the council does.
Yes, nothing.
Yeah, I've been wondering what that council does, too.
I'm sure everybody is. Good morning. As Pastor said, the council has asked me to talk about our role here at Bethesda, and as the incoming president for this next fiscal year, I appreciate the opportunity. Before I do that, please allow me to recognize our outgoing members this year. Jerry Morris and Sandy Pullen have served multiple terms, including the role as president over the past years, and Dale filled in this year, a vacancy on the council. And we have four open positions coming into this next year. So again, thank you for the efforts of those three people. They served very diligently, and we appreciate your efforts. Also, again, I'd like to recognize each and every member of the seven committees that have served here at Bethesda, along with the WELCA organization. Their daily, weekly, and monthly tasks actually provide the foundation for what is accomplished here at Bethesda. And with that, it leads me into the role of council. And because of the committee's efforts, our role is really to be the governing body here at Bethesda. We're the primary administrative agency which envisions, plans, implements, and evaluates the overall ministry here at Bethesda. Two major areas that we work in are the financial area and strategic planning. In the financial area, we determine the annual budget in concert with the financial committee. We manage the budget on a monthly basis with the treasurer, and we try to provide consistent communication to the congregation regarding budget updates, benevolence donations, and large capital expenditures, which most of you probably know we have a few of those coming up with the sound system here at the church. The parking lot needs to be resurfaced, and then hopefully those will be done at the end of this year, and then next year with the parsonage. In the strategic planning area, we just initiate future projects to complete it in a designated period of time, and outline action plans that actually each committee implements throughout the year, and then oversee the management of all facilities, including the maintenance and the possible future building projects. So as a congregation, like I said, we have four positions to be filled, and some of the main objections that I heard, the first one is time commitment. Remember, the committees actually do most of the work here at Bethesda. And also the politics or the potential disagreements that arise at times amongst the members. And I found a quote that was pretty good from G. Campbell Morgan, which summarizes a very positive viewpoint. If you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. That was pretty good. Again, if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. So my request to each of you to prayerfully think about becoming a council member is not to shame you in serving, because I believe in a quote I found from Jack Hiles, which states, God's people cannot be shamed into serving. They need to be challenged. And certainly we have enough challenges here at Bethesda to take care of each and every one of us. And lastly, I would like to play on the words of John F. Kennedy. Ask not what Bethesda can do for you. Ask what you can do for Bethesda. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. Actually, I've served, I think this is my sixth congregation. And this congregation has a great heart, and they actually want to make the world a better place. And we agree to disagree. Everybody's not going to be on the same place. I mean, we got the Republicans over here and the Democrats over here, or vice versa. But when we come, we're here to make the world a better place and to be more Christ-like. And serving on the council is a real joy. Like Craig says, I've been a pastor for 39 years. Every council has a different personality, but the ones here, we just want to help each other down the road. And we got some great leaders. So if you are interested, or are you, if you are asked, I would hope that you would say yes, because it's kind of a privilege, and it's a real neat thing to do. You get to meet a lot of people and see how a church works. But every church works differently anyway. It's not a hardship at all. So think about that, okay? Next year, too, by the way, hopefully I'll be retiring. So there's going to be some decisions going to be made. Yeah, and some important things. And there's going to be a call committee that'll be formed to find a new pastor and things like that. So it's going to be an exciting time. You're going to be around, Lloyd? Let's open with a prayer. Yeah. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for this congregation where we gather Sunday after Sunday. We meet during the week. We help each other down the road. We pat each other on the back. Some days we're not up to the task. But you forgive us, and you lead and guide us. And so we pray this morning as we worship, you will continue to lead and guide us. We pray your Spirit will stir in our hearts and in our lives, that we can serve you well, that we can live a life that is pleasing in your sight. So bless our time together this morning. Bless the words from our songs, the words of our prayers, and stir your Spirit in our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our opening hymn is, "And All the People Said Amen." It's a song done by Matt Maher. It's based on Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, 34 to 36. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said amen and praise the Lord." So that's what, there's a chorus that's throughout this that we want to hear really loud from you.
Oh,
Thank you. Please rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the creator of wind and rain, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world. Before God and the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess, God and Father of all, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have thought better of ourselves than others. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways which could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us, cleanse us, and heal us for the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food, we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our anthem today is called Everlasting God. It's done by Lincoln Brewster, and it's based on Isaiah 40:28. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth.
Strength of us as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. first reading today is taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Christians are called to be an imitators of God. This does not mean Christians are perfect. Rather, the Spirit is at work in our lives so that our actions and attitudes genuinely reflect the love and forgiveness we have received through Christ and his death. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our psalm today is 130. Please respond at the bold print, and at the bold R, respond, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet have you his forgiveness, nor have you made me fear. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all our sins. Out of depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 6th chapter of St. John. After feeding more than 5,000 people in the wilderness, Jesus teaches them regarding the true significance of this remarkable sign. Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You notice that the sermon title is Dealing with Cantankerous People. Kind of fits in with our council speech today. I'm just teasing. I read this week that it takes 17 muscles to smile and 43 muscles to frown. So it's a lot easier, three times easier to smile than it is to frown. But every once in a while we run into these cantankerous people, don't we? Our first lesson today that was read says that we should get rid of bitterness, we should get rid of wrath, we should get rid of anger and wrangling and slander and malice. These are the six vices that Paul tells us to dump, to not participate in. Have you noticed that all the Gospels and all the epistles written talk about how we can live a life that's closer to God, that's got more peace and joy and hope in our daily living. All of these writings are trying to teach us that we can have a little peace in our heart and joy in our soul. So when we talk about cantankerous people, I suppose we all know cantankerous people. There aren't any cantankerous people in this church, though. I mean, come and join our... At least you... Well, I was going to say you know who they are, but I'm just kidding. there's no one like that here. Anyway, even our prayer says, be imitators of God. The best example we have is Jesus. And so we are to be imitators of Jesus. Jesus tells us in the gospel lesson that he's the bread of life. He's the food of life. He will give us the wholeness of good living if we imitate him, if we immerse ourselves in him. Even our opening confession. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. We're supposed to have new eyes to see the world, his eyes. We're supposed to have his heart to experience the pangs of life that others carry. And then as Jesus did, we care for one another. We help one another. All of the stuff in the Gospels and in the Epistles are trying to let us know that if you want peace and joy and hope and love and those good things, imitate Jesus. Live in Jesus. Be in Jesus. Immerse yourself in Jesus. You don't have to be that cantankerous person. I've got a friend. He goes through some depression, and when he's going through one of those bad spells, we'll talk. Or if he gets in a group. Any of you read those Harry Potter books? There's this third one, Prisoner of Azkaban. There's some Death Eaters in there. These Death Eaters are like dark clouds, and in the movies they appear, and they just suck the life out of you. My buddy's just like that when he's going through his bad state, and he calls me because I usually give him hope or joy or love or a pat on the back or do something nice for someone today and gets him off, his mind off himself. Be imitators of God. Huh? Live in Christ. Live in love as Christ loved us. That's what our lessons say. Live in love as Christ has loved us. Are you filled with joy? Do you have hope in your heart? Yesterday I had a marvelous day. At 1 o'clock I went out to a house and baptized a 12-year-old boy, a kid named Dalton, Finlander boy. What do you say to a 12-year-old who wants to be baptized? And then all his family were around. I'm not sure they were churchgoers, but this boy wanted to be baptized, so I had the family there, and I said, you know, when you're baptized into Christ's death and into his resurrection. That means you're going to live in Christ. You're going to live in the presence of him. You're going to invite his spirit into you. And what you do when you're baptized is you are saying to the world that you are going to be a Christian. So we read these words today, get rid of bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice. And I kind of told him that all that stuff that, you know, I told him, no, don't be swearing anymore. 12-year-olds like to swear, did you know that? They won't swear around you or their teachers or their pastor. When they get around their friends, shh, watch out, man. No, not you. Sorry. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Okay, yeah. Because you're maybe living in Christ. You're living for Christ. You've got the Spirit of God in you, and you're a Christian. You and I, when we get up, oh, I always pick on Wally, but he had the greatest one line in the last dozen years. When I asked him if he ever woke up grumpy in the morning, he says, yeah, but sometimes she doesn't want to get out of bed.
When I get out of bed in the morning, I'll look out and see the wonderful birds and flowers and the wonderful place we live, and I'll say, let the old sinful self die and the new person in Christ rise. Give me the, take away the old eyes. Take away that old selfish heart and let me see the world in Christ, huh? And when I do that, I change. That means I'm living in Christ's presence. I'm inviting the Spirit of God into me, and that's what this gospel lesson, and that's what these epistle lessons are all about these days, living in Christ. And I told young 12-year-old Dalton, the world's going to kick you around. And I asked, are there any examples? And one fella, an old uncle, said he was divorced. Another one said he's lost his job. Another one was having health problems. But they said their faith picks them up and keeps them going and makes them strong and gives them hope for a better future. That's what, if we live in Christ, if we immerse ourselves in Christ, if we follow, get rid of all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling, if we put all of that bad stuff aside and stop being a cantankerous person, we'll see the world in a better way. We will find, at the end of the day, when we put our heads on our pillows, a little peace in our heart and joy in our soul. That's what that's what Jesus wanted to tell us, I think. Our church, our theology, our Christian church hasn't done a very good job of sharing that peace and sharing that joy. We've said things like, if you don't behave, you're going to roast in hell. And the God I believe in would never let one of his children roast in hell. He will always love us. Told young Dalton, God will always love you. He'll never stop loving you. You're always going to be his. Our church sometimes tries to control behavior by saying, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that or you're going to roast in hell. The God I believe in would never do that because he loves you and cares for you. And he'll never leave you. We had that great, yesterday that 12-year-old wanted to be dunked, so we dunked him. I says, I'm going to hold you under just a little longer. So it really catches. But then I officiated at a wedding a couple hours later. A young couple had a boy that was like 7 years old. They were finally getting around to getting married. Family was very pleased that they were finally making it legal in the eyes of God. I don't know, were they married before or not? It's between God and them, but I know God loved them too. But we talked about, you're not the Lone Ranger anymore. Marriage takes sacrifice, like Jesus gave and gave and gave of himself. Marriage takes forgiveness, because some days we're not at our best. We don't put on the eyes and the heart of Jesus. And we are selfish. Some days that feeling of love isn't, you know, that, I wonder what it would be like to have those bubbles in my stomach. You guys are probably as close to it as anything. You know, when you, I got a date, what are we going to do? Man, some days that love isn't there, though. Some days we got that grumpy going on, that cantankerous stuff going on. But we promise and make a commitment that we will stay faithful and we will stay together and we will make things go okay. And that's part of our immersing ourselves in Christ, putting ourselves in the midst of the Spirit of God. So, the title today, Dealing with Cantankerous People. How does your spouse, how do your kids deal with you when you're cantankerous? I'll talk to you about that later on. That's enough for today. Immerse yourself in the presence of Jesus. Invite his Spirit in. Seek to help each other down the road. Those are things that Jesus taught. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. We'll invite the praise team back. Last week I forgot, neglected to put out the blessing box. The blessing box is out there today. If you'd like to make, it's been designated to go to resurfacing our parking lot. So if you'd like to make a special donation, that's what the blessing box is going to be used for today.
The offertory hymn today is the anthem that we did last week, and we wanted to do it again because actually it's like the creed. It's our Christian faith. It's what we actually believe. So sing along with us, please.
Please rise if you are able. Let us turn to the offertory prayer in your bulletins. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Gathered by the Holy Spirit and fed by the Word, we come together as the people of God to pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O God, build up your church throughout the world. Teach it to share the living bread from heaven that you provide so that all are fed. Hear us, O God. Send rain and sun in their season so that fields of grain and fields of flowers thrive. Provide clean water for people and animals alike. Hear us, O God. Draw leaders away from bitterness and into your ways of kindness and mercy. Replace blame and malice with forgiveness and justice. Hear us, O God. Sustain all whose journey feels too hard to bear. Restore the hope of all who despair. Comfort those who are poor, oppressed, persecuted, or homeless. Heal the sick and comfort the grieving. We especially remember in our prayers Dean and Linda Newman, Darwin and Janine, Ron and Carol, our friend Carol Bipes, you with Alfie these days. And Lord, watch over Marilyn Samuelson as she continues to mend her bones. Hear us, O God. Bless those who prepare the bread and wine for our worship, communion servers, and those who carry from this assembly the bread of life and cup of salvation to those who are sick or homebound or imprisoned. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those newly baptized brothers in Christ. Be with little Dalton. Be with little Arden today. Be with Mike and Brianna, who were married yesterday. Watch over Will and Eddie, who graduated and soon head to college. Lord, smile upon our family and friends. Keep us close to you and keep us safe. Keep us in communion with our ancestors in the faith until we are raised up on the last day and join them at the table of the Lamb. Hear us, O God. Into your loving hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Now may Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, live in love as Christ has loved us. Thanks be to God. Our closing hymn is hymn number 774, What a Fellowship.